Because we're observing Children's Day today, we will postpone the observance of communion until next Sunday, but we will observe that next Sunday. Would you please turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 1? As we're considering God involved in the lives of people this year, and this being our observance of Children's Day, we're going to look at God involved in the lives of some children. Daniel chapter 1. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to teach us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your love for children. We thank you for the children that you have allowed us to have in this local assembly, for their participation in the service this day, and we pray that you will continue to involve yourself in their lives. As we consider this, Lord, I pray that you would help these young people to understand that you are very interested in them and will involve yourself in their lives as they seek you. Help us to understand this truth from the life of Daniel and his three friends, and teach all of us the valuable lesson that is in this text. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Children are not adults. They speak with a more limited vocabulary. They think simpler thoughts. Their understanding is less complex. Their abilities are much less as far as physical strength and mental perception and reasoning skills. Children simply are not equal to adults in many ways. They need supervision. They need education. They need direction, and they need protection. But children can know God. They are capable of great faith, and God does involve himself in the lives of children. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are a case in point, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but those are their Hebrew names, and we'll consider these young men this morning. Nebuchadnezzar had taken Jerusalem. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with parts of the vessels of the house of God. Now this was the first of three invasions that Nebuchadnezzar would make of Israel before the temple would be destroyed. So there is yet 10 or 12 years before that will happen. This is the first group of people that are carried away into captivity. And in this taking of prisoners, captives, in verse 3, the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now, in this phrase, children of Israel, that's a general term that can refer to people in Israel of any age. Children of Israel meaning the descendants of Israel. But in verse 4, he says, children in whom was no blemish. And in when he uses the word children in verse 4, it is a different Hebrew word than the word children in verse 3, where it refers to the children of Israel. This word children in verse 4 specifies a young person. It is the same term that is used in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 8 regarding Isaac. Isaac was born, and he began to grow and was weaned. It says in Genesis 21, 8, and the child grew and was weaned. Now, weaned child is not very old. This term, children, can refer to toddlers all the way up through young teens. These are young people, not adults at all. Not even older teenagers. So Daniel and his three friends are quite young when they are taken. Could be anywhere from 10 to 15 years old. These are children. As he specifies, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they take these young men who already have some education because of their standing. These are royal children, children of royal blood and of the king of Israel's household, and they're going to take these children. We know they have to be young because Daniel was in Babylon all the way through the taking over of Babylon of the Persians. Now, Daniel chapter 1 takes place in about 606 B.C., and Daniel chapter 6 takes place in 536 B.C., which is 70 years later. And at the end of chapter 6, it says Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus. And so, obviously, he continued on. So if he's living for 80 or 85 more years after this, you know he has to be quite young. Children. And among these children, verse 6, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The lives of these children are about to change drastically. They're taken from their home to a strange land. They're taken from their parents and their family. They are taken from everything that is familiar to them. They are being taught a different language. Notice at the end of verse 4, the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans is what they want to teach them. So they have to learn a new language. They are given a different education. And they are given a different diet. And they are even given different names. Verse 7, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. They are going to be put through a vigorous 3-year training. In verse 5, it says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So they were to be given a particular diet and taken through a 3-year course to prepare them to stand before the king. These are Israelite children. Children who grew up in Jerusalem in view of the temple of God. Who could have stood, being of royal birth, who could have stood before the children of Israel to lead them in trusting God. Instead, now, they're going to be assigned the role of standing before a Gentile king and advising him as he continues to seek to conquer other people. In this setting, and the reason I say they could have stood before the children of Israel and encouraged them to trust in God, we see in these young men something that was missing in many of the people in Israel at this time. Only a few short years later, after this event, 10, 12 years later, Jerusalem will be destroyed, the temple will be torn down, and the nation of Israel will be dismantled. The lack of faith and the lack of integrity in the people of Israel is a plague upon the people. But here are a few young men, boys, who have something in them that was missing even in the adults in the nation of Israel at this time. For notice in verse 8, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he should not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Daniel had a sense of what was pure and what was impure. Now that would only come from an understanding of the law of God. Daniel in his young years already understood that God had a law, and Daniel had a respect for the law of God. And he understood in his young life that if he would do something that violated the law of God, he himself would be defiled, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself by breaking the law of God and thus displeasing God himself. Daniel had something in him that was determined to please God. Oh, if there had been more like him in the nation of Israel at this time, the Babylonian captivity would not have needed to take place. There was tremendous defilement in the nation of Israel at this time. They were worshiping idols. They were making compromises with Gentile nations. They were seeking help from the Gentiles rather than from God himself. When the prophets of God came and warned them against all of these things, they ridiculed the prophets of God. Jeremiah was a prophet in Jerusalem at this time. They did terrible things to Jeremiah. There was no concern about defilement in Jerusalem or in Israel by and large. But in this young man's heart, there was concern. And he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He established something in his heart. He fixed something there. He set in place something in his heart. He set in place a determination that no matter what, in the midst of all of the trials and tribulations he was going through, all of the changes that he was being forced to go through, in this whole new setting, away from family and familiar things, caused to learn all of these new things and stand before a Gentile king, he would not eat those things that would defile his body and displease God. Children can be so easily tempted to indulge in things that defile them, both physically and spiritually. I read that the peak years for children to be introduced to smoking is between the ages of 11 and 13. In fact, 30% of children 10 to 11 years old have tried cigarettes. The average age for the first try of alcohol is 11 years old for boys and 13 years old for girls. When I was in the eighth grade, our class took a 3-day field trip. It was an earth science field trip. We went to a camp and we were going to hike during the day and collect samples of things and study earth science and that kind of thing. So we were staying in a camp for two nights, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, going back home Thursday evening. The first night, well, during the evening, the rumble went through the group. There was a message being passed along. There was going to be a party in one of the buildings there on the camp, and all of the teens, young teens, we were 13 years old, are to sneak out after the counselors go to sleep and meet in this particular place. It's going to be a party. And it was, they let it be known that three of the teens had brought alcohol beverages from home with them, snuck them onto the campground. Everybody was invited, except the adults, you know. And every teen had to make a choice. Do you go or not? Two-thirds of the class went to the party. One-third decided to sleep, including myself. I just thought I'd throw that in there, see. I understand. But of course they were caught. They didn't get away with it. And the three teens that brought the alcohol from home were suspended from school for a period of time and had, the lady that was our civics teacher piled so much homework on them. They didn't have any time to do anything but homework the whole time they were suspended and at home. But those three teens brought the alcohol, and they put the pressure on all of the other teens. Come and drink with us. And two-thirds of the class chose to do that. It's easy to influence young people, especially when there's a crowd, especially when there's a group, and everybody else is doing it. It takes a determination, a purposing in your heart that you will not defile yourself. And it can be done by young people. Daniel is an example. You can purpose in your heart to keep yourself pure. And if you will purpose in your heart to please God and keep yourself pure, this is what God will do. The first thing is that God worked behind the scenes, working in the lives of the men who were in charge of these young people. For notice in verse 9 it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." God brought Daniel into favor. How did he do that? Obviously, God is influencing the thoughts and the feelings of this prince of the eunuchs, who is a Gentile, and as far as we know at this point, doesn't know the Lord. But I think if Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah had anything to do with it till they were done in those 3 years, this man might have known the Lord. We don't have any record of that, but makes you wonder with the testimony that these four young men put before this man and the way God worked in his life. God, it says, brought Daniel into favor and gave this man an affection for these young people. He sees them as children taken from their home and family, and yet demonstrate a goodness about them that was exemplary. And so God worked in this man's life because Daniel had purposed in his heart and now was about to propose a change in how their training would be administered. And in order for that change to take place, God worked in the prince of the eunuch's heart so that it would be able to be affected. Verse 10, The prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Now, I'm not exactly sure what he means by the statement, the children which are of your sort. But it makes me think that there were other children of Israel taken as well, and they were apparently cooperating with the diet and the training. Or at least there were other children of their age who were going through this course from wherever they came. And this man was afraid of the king. After all, he's in charge of training these young men, and if these young men don't make it, he's going to be accountable to the king for this. And so he can't afford to have these young men turn out badly. And he knows the effect that this food has had on others he's trained in the past. And he anticipates the effect of this food on the young people that are already starting to eat it. And he's afraid that if he changes the diet, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are not going to turn out very well. They're going to look sickly and thin and frail. But Daniel, verse 11, said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Just give us 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. They're just going to eat vegetables and water. That's it. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. 10 days, that's all I'm asking. You know, that's pretty wise for a young person to come up with that suggestion. And it's evident that God is already working in Daniel in a marvelous way. And we'll see that in a moment in the text. So there was a consenting to this plan, verse 14. He consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. He let them eat their vegetables and water for 10 days while the others are eating meat and potatoes and breads and all kinds of wonderful desserts. And, I mean, talk about suffering in captivity. Those that were, that's a facetious remark. You know, these young men that were chosen to be wise men get the best food available. They get to eat what the king eats. I mean, they are just, they have available to them the best, and the, I don't know how nutritious it was, but most delicious food that was available in the kingdom. So for 10 days, while the others are just eating away at all of that delicious food, Daniel and his three friends are eating vegetables and water. Vegetables can be delicious. Don't misunderstand. Vegetables can be delicious. It's just the idea that it doesn't have the same tingle to your taste buds as all of that sweet stuff does. Verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. How was that possible? They looked healthier 10 days later than everybody else. It was absolutely amazing. So, verse 16, Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them. Paul said, go for it. If this is how it's going to turn out, I'm all glad for this diet. We'll have everybody eat like that. And the conclusion of it was in verse 17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. But I want you to understand something. I do not believe these four men became knowledgeable and skillful and wise because of their diet. Where did this knowledge and skill and wisdom come from? It says God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And to Daniel, he gave understanding in all visions and dreams. Not simply because they ate a particular diet. Now, diet can be important, but this isn't about diet. This is about what happened in verse 8. This is about Daniel purposing in his heart. Daniel made a decision, and Daniel made a commitment. And I think in light of what it says in verse 17 and the participation of the other three friends in this whole process, that Daniel's influence upon these other three men was profound, and all of them made the same purpose in their heart. The evidence of that being in the event of the fiery furnace, when the three were there and they would not defile themselves by bowing down to a false god. They made this determination and they fixed it. It is possible, young people, even while you are young, it is possible, children, even while you are children, to fix your heart, to purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself with the ungodly and immoral things of this world, and you will please God and keep yourself pure. We are given too much of the line in our world today that if you're children, you need to explore and you need to have freedom and you need to just do things that are enjoyable, make the most of your youth, sow your wild oats or whatever. You defile yourself as a young person, that can have long-term effects in your life. And prevent God from being able to use you in ways he would like to, if you would keep yourselves pure. What this shows us is that age is not a factor in God deciding whether or not he will involve himself in your life. He doesn't wait until you're adults to become involved in your life. He becomes involved in your life when you purpose in your heart that you will please him. We rejoice every time we hear of a child receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. But as with all Christians, we should not just lead them to Christ and then let them languish in the things of the world. We should teach them and train them and guide them and direct them, so that they can understand, even as young people, as much as possible about the Lord and have the wherewithal in their hearts to make that purpose, to set in place that determination, to fix their heart, to keep themselves pure, and to please God. Would you go to Psalm 71? Psalm 71 and verse 5. David said, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God, for thou art my trust from my youth." Ever since he was a young person. How old was David when he was a shepherd boy? Too young to go into the army, which means he was less than 20 years of age. When he had some amazing experiences. A bear and a lion, each in turn seeking to take sheep from his flock, and David was able to trust the Lord to battle each of them and win, strengthening his heart to such a point that as a teenage boy, he was able to face a giant that no one else in the entire nation, including King Saul, was willing to face. David had made God his hope from his youth. He trusted in God as a boy. And he says in verse 6, "By thee have I been holden up from my womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." And then drop down to verse 17. Psalm 71 and verse 17, David says, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth." Notice that God was involved in David's life as a young person. "God, thou hast taught me from my youth." And hitherto, ever since you taught me as a young person, I have been declaring thy wondrous works, so that now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." If you want to be a responsible adult with a life that pleases God, then young people, now is the time to purpose in your heart that you will not defile yourself with those things that displease him. But you will make a fixed determination in your heart to please the Lord. I guarantee you, if you will do that, even now, as a young person, you will sense God's involvement in your life. You will sense his training, his interest, his building in you a wisdom, a knowledge, an understanding, the development of skills that will make you useful to him. Of course, the lesson is for all of us. If we want God to be involved in our lives, we must purpose to please him. Will you make that choice today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimony of these young men, boys, children, who in spite of all of the things that were against them and all of the challenges they had to endure, they were able to make a determination in their heart that they would please you. I pray for our young people. I know that you want to give them knowledge. You want to build skills of learning within them. You want to give them wisdom and understanding. So I pray that even in this moment, young people in our midst will purpose in their heart that they will not defile themselves with the world, that they will not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of their mind, that they may be able to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will that you have for them. Help us all to have that purpose. Help us all to sense your involvement in our lives. And help us all to bear that testimony that shows the value of purposing in our hearts to please you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.